Welcome to Behind the SaaS. I'm your host, Aaron Howerton, and this week, I got a new microphone. I'm hoping the improvement in audio quality comes through loud and clear as we dive into today's topic, but first, a little housekeeping. I'm looking at making some changes, so stay tuned. I really hate to do it because I've done so much already to build up this, but I also know that I want to be a little bit more consistent. And if we are really honest with ourselves, we know that I'm just going to keep talking about partner ops. So in the next few weeks, I will be moving a lot of things from this concept of behind the SaaS and the partner experience digest, things like this under this banner of partner ops partner. So you can find me partneropspartner.com under that logo. And just to give a little bit of presence and consistency to what I'm doing, because I mean, I'm just going to keep talking about partner ops. And this week is no exception. This week is all about partner ops as a strategic role. Now, I'm going to say something that might be offensive. If you're working in ops, partner ops, or really any ops capacity, and you're not contributing to strategy, you're not doing your job. Now, I don't mean to be harsh. I don't want you to be offended. And it may be that it wasn't what you were hired for. You might be in a strictly operational role. Deliver the work. Here's the capacity. Do the thing. What I would look at is the manual labor of professional work. Come in, run the reports, reconcile data, click and point, move things from point A to point B, do the uploads, make things consistent. But that's not why I do operations. In fact, I do what I do because of experience. Because when you work on operations, you're closer to the rhythm and processes of the organization and potentially the ability to change those to improve automation so that not only you, but everyone else benefits, specifically with partners, partner experience. I try to tie everything back to that for that reason. I want my role in operations to be elevated. I want it to seem and be more than just the delivery of this thing or that thing on a consistent basis based on capacity. I want it to be seen strategically, so I have to bring a strategic mindset, and I do that around the idea of experience. There's at least three audiences in that for me. There are customers, colleagues, and partners. And so that's a lot to think about. Everything we do, though, everything we do when we change a process or a program or a system, we impact experience for stakeholders. It's either better or it's worse. Sometimes it's incrementally worse to get better toward a longer goal, but we're making these changes and it's not in a vacuum. It impacts people and how they work. Smaller organizations are more impacted by these kinds of changes. Larger organizations can do and tolerate more negative experiences, but after a while, it's still going to wear on people and those negative experiences add up to technical debt. So when I talk about being in a strategic mindset, for me, this is a very specific approach. You can find lots of books, lots of writings on getting into the strategic mindset and what that might mean in different industries and different spaces. For me, I break it down pretty simply. It's just learning how to ask good questions. And then training people that that's what your job is. You work in operations. It's not just to deliver what they say. It's to help provide strategic value around what they're trying to accomplish. So an example might be someone asking for a report with this data set from scheduled to run monthly with these fields on it. And you typically might have to say, sure, when do you want this ready? Great, I'll have it to you in 2 days. But the strategic mindset is to ask, what are we trying to do with this report? What's your goal? What are you trying to understand? Because you may have a different connection to the data. You might understand more about how to get to it accurately on the first try. You've probably been in a situation where you've delivered a report and people are now asking you for micro changes. Oh, can we add that field? Can we move this here? Can we do that here? Because you didn't either have a good discovery process or they were unwilling to engage in a good discovery process. And these questions, this ability to come back and look for goals can add more value. It can feel a little awkward at first because if people aren't trained to this, they're trained to expect you to be a doer and a gopher. It can start to be a little challenging. So you have to be prepared to get on a phone call. Don't do this over Slack. Don't do this over email if it's new to you. Get on the phone, pull them into a Zoom, a meeting, something. Give them an expectation that you're there to help. That face-to-face really helps with the tone. There's a lot of good reasons why you might do that. One, it's going to help you build rapport. If you're new to the company, it's a really good way. It gets you visibility. It establishes you as an owner and that you want to be strategic about what you are trying to accomplish. But other reasons could be that it's just already there. Somebody's asking for a report because they're unfamiliar with the data. They're unfamiliar with what's available in the reporting model, and you are. So you talk to them, find out what their goals are, point them toward a corporate dashboard or a team shared dashboard that more people have visibility of. So we're all working from the same data set. That's one of the problems with prolific reporting inside of a system without controlled corporate standards. Like, these are the source of truth. If you don't have source of truth reporting available to all teams, then you run rampant with people building data and reporting without a deep understanding of the data model. They come back with data that doesn't make sense. They create headaches and challenges for you, right? This is part of what you should do in operations, is drive people toward the standards, toward the source of truth. The strategic difference in this is that you're looking past the request, which is do this thing, to understand the impact and alignment with other long-term goals. What's it for? Does it make sense? Yes, we can buy the new partner directory tool that you're after. Have you spoken to the marketplace team or the product team? Are you, do you know if they're interested in any sort of similar listing services? Because, you know, you're familiar with partner tech, and you know that a lot of these platforms are now providing all of these things from a single set of data. You can get marketplace, you can get in-app, you can get your directory, you can get an internal directory. That's coming up. More people want a separate internal directory in their system. So you having that visibility, you being cross-functionally connected in partner operations, that allows you to be able to pull these things in and make sure everyone has visibility. Yes, the people who want the directory might get a little frustrated that you're slowing down their rush to deliver this thing based on a timeline that you had no control over when they showed up, but you're helping the business see holistically, and you don't want to end up adopting two or three different platforms that all do the same thing. Now you're going to have internal strife around systems administration and management. It's going to be a headache. And this won't apply to every ask, by the way. It'll apply to some asks. But the habit of more questions is going to open the door for more interesting projects. It's also the doorway for higher level strategic awareness. If you're not aligning your work to top level OKRs for the business, you're already putting yourself at risk. This is something I've had to learn slowly. I'm a little bit dense sometimes, and it can be difficult to say, great, I really want to do this thing. I really want to do this project. I really want to do this thing. I can see the value. I know that it's painful, but we can't connect it to the upstream OKRs or the upstream MBOs or whatever you're using at your org. You can't connect it to revenue and revenue generation and partner experience, revenue generation, all those pieces. It can be difficult to get buy-in. But that strategic mindset about learning to ask these questions and deliver goals is going to help you move up in the traditional hierarchical sense. It's going to move you from being an analyst to a senior analyst, to a manager, to a senior manager, to a director, to a senior director. And that's as far as it goes for partner ops. So far, you might have to transition out. I've been having some interesting conversations and looking at different feedback in the industry about, you know, how does partner ops move into rev ops? Is that the right place? If you look at where we sit in an organization, that's becoming common, but that's not exactly what we do. And if you have a real mandate around partner and channel or ecosystem, whatever the language is, you're doing broad level work. And a piece of what you do is tied to rev ops. A piece of what you do is tied to rev ops. But that can also look like consulting rev ops on what they need to have in place to support partnership rhythms from a revenue perspective, to make sure they have the right visibility for partner overlaps or partner overlays with opportunities or program level performance. Like, that all rolls right into the RevOps function, but that's one piece of what a partner ops professional might end up doing in a given day when they're truly cross-functional through the org. If you want to learn more about this, this week's write-up is going to be all about this. There's two other sections I won't have time to get to today on the podcast with my personal time limits here, where to get started. So I talk about new and early stage program where companies are hiring 18 to 24 months in, and then here's the things you're going to be doing, which is, can be a lot of cleanup because you're coming in behind existing programs who've already had stuff stood up by program leads who may or may not have an operational mindset. And then there's also a section around existing programs. If you come into larger programs, things that you might encounter there. I kind of make the argument that partner operations don't tend to change much from one industry to another. It really changes based on program, right? Like, you can go from one industry to another in partnerships, and partnerships may look a little different. The contracts may be a little different. Some of the rhythms might be different, but you're generally facilitating a lot of the same kind of work, which is co-sale deals or referral revenues or marketplace listings or integrations. All these things kind of translate from industry to industry. But I make that point and I also give a lot of peace there. And then I wrap up with this one thought that I want to summarize here as well. A lot of operations for me has come down to helping the business understand the impact of their decisions, especially when it comes to system adoption and technology, which is where I tend to live and focus. yes, we want to get this benefit, but it may cause this dependency or improve this. We have all these other platforms, and it's a lot about helping the business understand, when do you want to do the slowdown? When do you want to slow down to clean up and do the hard work? Do you want to do that now, or do you want to do that later? That is what a lot of the work comes down to for me is, yes, here's the benefit. Yes, we can do that thing. It's going to create this technical debt. It's going to have these dependencies. It's going to have to come back later down the road and bite us in the butt. Are you prepared for that? Are you okay with that? If so, then yes, let's go. And operations, unfortunately, also doesn't always get the call on whether or not that's the case. So I feel like part of the value for operations is to learn how to see the challenge, communicate the challenge, put the org to the question of addressing the challenge now or later, and then deliver. Be prepared to hear a lot. We'll circle back to this later. We've got to get this live. It's very common for the strategic mindset to be overlooked, even at higher levels. So give it time. We are working on changing an industry perception about what it means for us to be in operations. I use that term with air quotes right now because it's so much more than operations. It is a strategic effort to grow partnerships within the business, within the customer base, and within the industry. A couple of bonus tips as we sign off. Make sure you track your completed work. I'm going to bring back the brag book. Track everything that you do, every accomplishment you have, every change you make so that you can quantify what you've done. And also, if you build something, include a way to track it. That's part of how you become more strategic, is you can point back to what you've done and you can point toward the impact you've had. I hope you appreciate the episode. I know that I appreciate being able to do this and put this in the world for anyone to listen to. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, look for the write-up coming out tomorrow on the newsletter on my LinkedIn site. Also find it at Partner Hacker under the Partner Experience Daily. And then please join me at Partnership Leaders, where every week I host office hours for partnership leaders in this group. Ops people are welcome to join in, share your opinions, and begin to give feedback and get engaged with the broader partnership community. Look forward to seeing you there. Hope you have a great week.